And then someone went,
testing, 1, 2.
I can really taste the bacteria.
What's up, John? What's up, John Burton?
1, 2, 3, 4. Why you can't have a best?
Okay, wait. Let me rewind. John, you're right.
Right. I'm just going to play us in a little bit.
When are you going to tell me we're starting?
We started.
Okay. Awesome.
That's perfect.
Okay.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's so great to be here.
You are Linda Samuels.
I am.
You run Oh So Organized.
Yeah.
And you wrote a book.
I did.
And you're a mom.
I'm a mom, yes.
And a wife.
Yes, all that.
And you freaking love purple.
Yes. You figured that out and you, wow, okay, yes.
I've done my research.
All right, well, that you've got all the important things.
Right. This was a great interview. Thank you for coming. All right, so I prepped for this, obviously. Well, maybe it's not so obvious. I prepped for this.
Okay.
And I'm fascinated by organization, be it for coming at it from a mental health standpoint.
Sure.
First. It seems to me, having been – do you know my story?
I know your story from what I've read and a little of what you've told me. But
okay.
I'd love to hear more if you want to share it.
I was crazy. And I catch flack for using that word, but I was crazy.
Okay.
And I was misdiagnosed, I think. Maybe I wasn't. I was on 7 different medications. They all counterindicated. One was lithium. Lithium is toxic.
Sure. It's heavy duty.
Well, it's toxic. It turns to poison. Some people, yeah. It's poison.
Yeah.
And some people, it's not. And I happen to be the one that it's poisonous for. Mm. So I'm like getting like really sick. And I'm like, these medications are killing me, and I got to get off. And everybody that I knew said, "You're crazy." And I'm like, "Yes, but I still have to get off these pills." So I went cold turkey. I detoxed. Don't ever do that.
Yeah,
it was hell.
Yeah,
it was too. It was really just 2 months of physical, like, sweating through my clothes every half hour.
Wow.
for weeks on it. It was just insane. So I said, okay, I can't do the drugs, but I got to manage it. So I found a way to manage it through meditation and writing and exercise.
Okay.
which works for me.
Great.
If you saw pictures of me in my house when I was nuts, I looked like Nick Nolte's mugshot. Have you ever seen Nick Nolte's mugshot?
Yes.
Okay. My hair, I mean, I looked nuts, and nothing in my life was in place.
Yeah.
at all. And when I got some clarity, organization started to happen, and I noticed, because I was keenly aware of what was working and what wasn't working, and I noticed organization made me feel better.
Yeah.
Can you speak to that? Like, how?
Absolutely.
Why does that work?
Well, you know, it's so interesting. One of the things that really enticed me about, you know, you asking me to come here and talk with you was because of how you were thinking about organization. You know, so I think a lot of times people think about organization in the, you know, what you see in the news and the magazines and the sort of that.
Can you just jump on that mic a little bit?
There,
perfect.
Okay. You know, that physical.
You can pull it towards you, too, if you
okay.
want.
Okay. There you go.
Perfect.
Is that better?
That's,
okay.
That's exactly
great.
It. Thank you.
But for me, what's so compelling about organization is not about what it looks like, but about how it facilitates a flow in your life. And so it doesn't have to be beautiful looking or perfect. It just has to work for you. And so most of the clients that I work with do have various challenges. Could be mental health, could be brain differences, could be physical challenges. And the organizing piece is elusive, and then you complicate it with some of these other extenuating circumstances, and, you know, they're in a situation. So there's no question that when internally there's turmoil, it's going to show up externally. It absolutely will. And so,
and the reverse is true too, though. I found is like if you're internally in turmoil,
yeah,
but you can somehow externally create right angles,
yes,
with things, it begins to work internally.
Yes, it's definitely works in both directions,
right?
But in other words, when I will see what's going, well, someone will describe to me what they're experiencing, the challenges they're having, and then when I see it, you can see a physical manifestation of that. And as you begin to tease things out and create flow and remove those blockages, the physical blockages that are in front of them, something happens internally.
Yeah.
But again, it's not about making it perfect. It's about figuring out kind of what's organized enough for you.
So I get to my notes here. I wrote these are my notes on your show. I'm not organized.
Very organized. Again, is it going to work for you? And that's the key, right?
I have this weird system where I won't do more than one page of notes for a show because then I feel like I'm writing a script and it doesn't do. So I only do like one page. So one of the things I wrote was I wanted to try to define organization. And then I started trying to define it. And the only thing I could say is organization is like porn. I can't define it, but I know it when I see it.
That's funny.
What's your definition?
Oh, man. I feel like this is a test. I've been doing this over 30 years, and I did a workshop a while ago, and I realized I'd never tried to define it before.
Mm.
And so I sat and defined it. But if you asked me to call it up for you right now, I can't.
Okay.
Like, I would need my notes. But what I will say, to me, organization is less about what it looks like and more about what it feels like.
Mm. Okay, that makes complete sense.
Yeah.
Is organization for me is predictability.
Okay.
I think that whether it's a workflow or a closet, mm-hmm, or a blah, blah, if it's organized, I have a high degree of predictability of where this is going to be, what's going to happen next, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And I wonder sometimes, and predictability is safe, and safety is reassuring. And reassuring is really good for your head.
Yes.
So I wonder if that's part of the impact.
I think it is. I think it's, you know, I think most people, I mean, maybe organizers would be different in the fact that they actually love organizing and that in itself, that process of doing it is something that brings joy. But I will say that most clients that I work with and most people I know don't want to focus their life on organizing. So it's right.
Yep.
So it's really the way I see it is it's how can you create enough systems or I guess predictability. I hadn't thought of it that way so that you can actually do the things in your life that you want to do with ease. So, you know, it could be as simple as if you're really struggling to like sleep and get up in the morning and get going, you know, even getting dressed, if your clothing situation is not working, that's going to create this extra stress. And I'm not saying like that clothing, it's a significant thing, but I'm saying that in a day.
It is when you're running late.
Yeah. In a day, there are all these like stress points, some of which you have no control over and some of which you have control over. And so we know that life is not predictable and, you know, shit happens, right?
Yep.
All the time.
All the time.
Externally, internally. But if we can kind of smooth out some of the areas that will make a difference, it's just incredible what happens. It opens up a life. It opens up some of the blockages that are in your head, in your space. Again, it's not the silver bullet or the magic pill.
Right.
But it can make a huge difference.
Have you ever had clients for whom, because I know somebody, mm-hmm, that I think this is true of, that organization is a crutch. I know somebody, and their work process is such that they spend 45 minutes planning tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then another 45 minutes, I call it rearranging Post-its around their computer monitor.
Okay.
And not really producing anything. And I think for some people, I think some people have to watch this. Organization becomes crutch because it's safety. You feel like you're actually producing something, but you're not.
So I think I'd have to know more about that particular situation, because on the one hand, I suppose in a sense life isn't always about just producing. So I question that aspect of it. But again, what I have learned is that what feels organized and what works for one person won't work for another. So for instance, like early on in my career, I got two calls from potential clients, very different calls, but they sounded similar. One person said, I have so much clutter in my home that I'm not even sleeping in my bed. I'm not cooking in my kitchen. I can't hardly move in there. Okay, that's one. And I got another call just around the same time, like I think within the same week, that said, I have so much clutter in my house that I can't even think.
Mm.
Okay? So both were describing this immense amount of what I'm interpreting as physical clutter. I hadn't met them yet. And they were in such distress. And both of them said, I have no idea if you can help me, but I don't know what else to do. Okay? So that's where we started. And, you know, I no longer work in person. I only work virtually. But in those days, I did go on site. So I went to each space. And in the first case, it was true. There was, you know, she opened the door. There was just this little path, a clear path from the front door to the couch. Everywhere else, there were piles everywhere. You know, it was, right? And in her case, she had gone through a depression. It was like 7 years. Interestingly, she went to work every day and was amazing at the work that she did, but she'd come home and she had nothing left. And so everything piled up. So, you know, we teased out what was going on, and eventually we got her back in her bed and eating her kitchen and clearing everything out. In the other case, I come in and we sit down and we start talking. I don't see any clutter. I see none. So we're talking for a while, and eventually I said, can you point to the clutter? Because again, it's what this was the important lesson for me. It's how someone feels about it. It's not my perception. It's their perception. So he points to this like stack of books, about 10 books stacked on a side table. And I'm thinking, okay, this is really interesting. I've not encountered this before. And then after maybe 10, 15 minutes, he goes, you know, the worst of it is upstairs. It's in my bedroom. And I thought, all right, you know, he might just need to be comfortable before he shows me. We go up there. And he said, you know, it's my desk and my closet. And I looked at the desk, and there were like 4 pieces of paper. And I looked in the closet, and there was about 10 shirts. And what I learned from him was, and he was serious. He had so much trouble with decision making. He lacked the confidence that anything that required a decision was just put him over the top. So that was a huge lesson for me. It has nothing to do with what I think clutter is, what I think disorganization is. It has everything to do with how someone is perceiving it.
And both those people were in a mental health situation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and which is, you know, a large percentage. I specialize in working with clients that are chronically disorganized.
Mm-hmm.
So there's often going to be something. Anxiety, depression, bipolar, right. The gamut.
How do you start your day?
How do I start my day?
Yeah.
So I don't like to rush.
Okay.
And so I start my day. I mean, I wake up, the alarm goes off, and then I meditate. That's what I do first.
What kind of meditation do you do?
I like to do guided meditation. Okay. I use an app.
Yeah.
And I also, in the morning, and a lot of people are like, what? I like to do it laying down in bed.
Sure.
Okay. So that's how I start my day.
Great.
And then I journal.
We have the same day.
Okay. Then I wake up, you know, showering, dressing, eating.
You handwrite your journal or you type?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I love paper pen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Handwrite. And then once I've sort of fed myself, then I'm ready for others.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have a limit? Or do you have a minimum for your journal a day, or is it just?
So I actually have two journals. So the one journal is my meditation journal, and so that I write in every day. So after I meditate, I journal. It could be about the meditation. It could just be some random thought that came up. It's very brief.
That's wild.
Yeah. And then I have like a normal, not normal, I don't want to say normal, but my personal journal, which is not a daily, it's on an as needed basis.
Right. This is wild. So when I detoxed and quit all the drugs, my regimen is I get up at 3 o'clock every morning. I just naturally do it.
Wow, that is early. Yeah, early
just,
riser.
It's just my head.
Yeah, yeah.
I get up, first thing I do, you know about the artist way? You ever hear
yes,
about the, okay.
Sure.
Then, and the morning pages where mm-hmm. you got to do, so I write three pages.
Yeah, just, that's great.
It has to be three pages, blah, blah. And then I have what I think is an aggressive meditation practice. It's 20 minutes in the morning and then 20 minutes, hopefully in the afternoon, and 20 minutes at night.
That's great.
But we start our day the same, the same way.
Yeah, I don't know. So did you started your meditation coming out of trying to just clear your head? Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm in the morning. I'm not great with the math, but a bunch of years ago, both my folks have passed, but my dad passed first and then my mom. But after my dad passed, maybe a year later, my mom was diagnosed with dementia.
Mm.
So I was the primary caretaker. I have siblings, but primary caretaker for, you know, managing all that was going to transpire in the next 8 years. And there was a point where I knew her wishes were to age in place and be at home. And we did our best to make that happen. But there came a point where it just was no longer viable, both from a safety standpoint and a financial standpoint. And so I knew we were going to have to move her into a memory care unit. And it was eating me up. And I couldn't talk with her about it because she wouldn't understand or remember anything. And so as many tools as I had developed over the year as a human being, I felt like I needed something else and I didn't know what it was. And a friend of mine at that time mentioned to me about this meditation course and teacher that she had taken classes with and thought I'd like it. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to try it. I have nothing to lose. It's something I've been interested in. And from the first class that I took, I'm like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe it's taken me this long to get here. And so that really started me on the journey. And I've been, you know, I've learned, taken, you know, had many different teachers. At this point, mostly I do it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
There's a retreat I go to once a month where we do a meditation part of it. It's a writing meditation retreat.
Are you a better organizer for meditating?
Probably, and probably also a better human. I mean, I will share with you that, you know, my husband knows I meditate every day. And every once in a while, like if something happens and I'm like, okay, I'll meditate later. He'll say to me, are you sure you don't want to? Like he notices.
honey.
Yeah, honey.
Do you want to go meditate?
Exactly. And he has recently started. I'm
great.
So proud of him.
That's great.
I'm really proud of him. Yeah.
So I want to get organized.
Okay. What
organization... I would imagine. Wait, I'm plugging your book first. The book is The Other Side of Organized.
Yes,
which is cool.
That is
finding balance between chaos and confusion. So that's
chaos and perfection.
Perfection. How did I get confusion? Because I'm imperfect.
No. That's okay. We all are. But that's the key, though, is that so many people think it's got to be perfect.
Right. And that's what you were speaking about before. So if I was a professional organizer, and trust me, no one has ever asked me to be a professional organizer. I would start with mindset. Is that, am I on the right zip code or no?
Sure, because it's, again, it's, oh man, so often someone who is reaching out for help has been beating themselves up about this particular skill that they don't have.
Because it seems like a skill everybody should have, but it's not. I don't have it.
Gosh, I don't know if I would say everyone should have it, but I would say that everyone doesn't have it.
Definitely.
And it's useful to have, but I also believe that everybody has gifts. Like, no one's got all the skills,
right?
But it is a teachable skill. So that I feel strongly about. But not everyone wants it or needs it or, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there are places where like back to my friend, she's a recruiter.
Okay.
And so, you know, she has 9 to 5, that many hours to reach out to people at work and recruit them and do it.
Yeah.
So an hour and a half of moving Post-its around a monitor is burning through time when she should be producing. And
so that's what you meant.
That's what
producing.
I meant. Yeah.
Okay.
I love your approach to it, because there are also times where organization, like the creative process, I have had organization kind of interfere with the creative process.
In what way?
In like some part of like my creative process for songwriting, part of it is discipline. You can't do it unless you just sit down and say, okay, for 45 minutes, I'm going to do something.
Yep.
So I try to write a song, and you get a melody, and then you start with the words. Now, the organized person would say, okay, well, the first words you sing are the first words of the song. But not necessarily.
No, not necessarily.
Right,
we're talking about a creative process, so.
So the organization's not necessarily. Go ahead.
Well,
Teach me.
What I was going to say is, I mean, I have an art background. And I come from a very...
You're a graphic designer, right?
Graphic design, fine arts. And I come from a family of musicians. And so I believe that organization, like for me, it's highly creative.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a process. And that even though I think people think, you know, like your pencil's lined up and everything, whatever, maybe that's what it ends up looking like, maybe not. But it's how you get there that's creative. And so, for instance, and I'm not sure where I might have interrupted where the question was going, but the idea that organization has to be a certain way or that there's a finite place for it, that I don't believe. Because, for instance, you could organize let me think of an example. Let's just say you're organizing your space for where you are now, and then something major happens in your life. There's a death, there's a move, you have a baby, you're divorced, you lose your job. All of a sudden, the systems that you had, it may no longer fit for where you are right now. You're changing and you're in a transition and something else is happening. And so there has to be an openness and a certain amount of creativity to be able to move yourself out of where you were and recognize, I need to adjust. And I think the creative process is that way too. You know, the discipline of it, let's say, is that you, in the same way that you say you wake up, you meditate, you journal, you write your 3 pages. So the discipline of creativity is that you get your butt in the chair and in the studio with your guitar.
Right.
What happens next, that's probably a fluid process. I mean, maybe there's a pattern for some people, but I'm thinking that there is a fluid process. You know, I write every week, I blog, and for me, it's getting my butt in the chair to write.
You got to do it.
I don't always know. I know the theme. I don't always know what's going to happen, and sometimes I struggle more than others, but I just keep at it until something comes out. And some days I'll be like, all right, not your best work, but this is a practice you're doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, just cut it short and just go with it and see what happens. Put it out there.
Right.
What do you have to lose?
Yeah.
You know, most people aren't reading it anyway. So.
I'm reading it.
Thank you.
I like your blog.
Thank you.
You are right. Organization is a teachable skill, though.
Yes.
I am not an organized person at all. Well, I am a little bit. I'm getting better. But people who are in my personal life would look and go, we were not going to use the word organized to describe John.
Okay.
My wife gets head and neck cancer, and it's
so sorry.
Oh, thanks. She's good
she's
now.
She's okay.
Yeah, but it was a 2-year journey between she had a major surgery and then a major treatment and then a major recovery, and it was really kind of 2-year journey. Mm. And for a year and 10 months of that, she couldn't do anything. And we have a daughter. And she, you know, her job was sit in a chair, get up, sit back in a chair. That was her job.
Wow.
And so I had to run an entire house and be her caregiver, and which means allocating medication, certain time, blah, 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 blah. Mm. And I developed this, and I'm not organized, but I developed this system to do it. And when it was all done, and her recovery was pretty dramatic. So we got interviewed a couple times about it, and when I started talking about it, I was like, I didn't even think I would. If you asked me, are you capable of that? I would say, no, I can't be that. But in the moment, you can find it. And I think for me it was a switch of mindset first.
Absolutely.
I have to have a system because the stakes are so high.
Yeah.
Is that where most of your clients start?
Sometimes it's that the stakes are high.
Meaning like I'm suffering too much.
Okay, the suffering, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Yeah. But in your case, stakes are high because you now have this other life that, you know, that you want to protect and all. But one thing I will say, which is really interesting, you talk about mindset shift. So a number of times you said, I'm not organized. No one would describe me as organized. But yet you were able to do what you did for your wife. You do a weekly podcast. You produce music, right?
Right.
You started a nonprofit. Now, all those things require organization. And so I guess I would challenge you to think about that.
Right.
Maybe not all of your life is organized, but you do have the skills and you just may be applying them in certain areas and not in others.
Right.
And that I see. So not just for you, but in clients, they'll come in like they have this idea.
Am I the guy with the 10 books on the table?
Possibly.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, I see what you meant. Okay.
Right,
that
right.
guy. No, not necessarily him, but because clearly you're good at decision making. So, but it's often like we put a perception of ourselves that isn't necessarily accurate. So when I start to work with someone who's coming in already feeling pretty beat up, like, I don't know, this is like the last resort because everyone, you know, whatever. I'm always looking for what is working because most people have something that's working in their life. And I try to think about why is that working?
Mm.
So you get up every day at 3 a.m, you do your meditation, you do your journaling, you do your writing, you do all these other things. That takes a level of organization. You may not be thinking of it like that.
Right. I think it's crazy, but it's actually organized.
It is.
Yeah.
Right. So I would just, you know, when you're thinking about the areas where you feel like they're not as organized as you'd like, sometimes you can take what is working and tease out why is that working and apply them in other areas.
You're good. do you do time management?
I do time management. Yep.
What's the trick?
Oh, there's not one trick.
Okay.
What's a trick? Well, oh gosh, there's so much to say about time management. I mean, I think one thing that's true is that most people feel like if I could only get it all done,
right?
Then I'd be da-da-da. If I could only get it all done, life would be perfect. And I think the first thing about time management is just recognizing you're never going to get it all done. If you're living and breathing, you're never going to get it all done. If you make a list in your head or on paper or electronically, as soon as you cross something off, something else will pop on. And that's just a human condition.
You kind of want that condition because when you're done with your last thing, you're done.
You're done. That's right. You're done. So I think that's part of it. And the other piece is to really understand what's really important to you. Like what is meaningful and where do you want to focus your life? Because if everything you're doing is allotting time to not that, then something needs to shift.
Mm. Right. Okay, that makes sense.
But once you're clear about what the priorities are, then as you take on things, you can begin to say, does this align with my priority?
Mm.
Or, you know, and okay, granted, there are things we have to do in life because we're human, just life maintenance. We may not like doing those things, and it's just part of life. But if all of your life is that, and none of it is tied to those big things that really drive you, that you're passionate about, that, you know, are that make you feel like that sort of make you vibrate in a way, then, you know, then it's time to look at where is that time going.
I have this bizarre problem.
Yeah.
You didn't know you were missing therapy today, did you?
No.
I have this bizarre problem talking about time management. There's like four things in my life that I really like to do.
Okay.
I like the show. I like the Lifted Project. I like music. And I like working out. Five. Okay. And my family.
Okay.
And,
like, we won't notice that the family game last. Okay.
Well, I can edit this. It'll come first in the I'm kidding. I actually resent like showering. I resent showering.
That's so funny.
Right?
Because I've like, never heard anyone say that.
Because
it's
15 minutes where I could be doing one of the things.
Uh-huh.
It makes me nuts to stand in line because I'm like, that's time that I could be spending.
Doing the other.
Doing the other.
That's like the life maintenance piece, maybe.
Yeah. I hate life maintenance.
This is so interesting. When you said that, I've never heard anyone say I hate shower. I love shower. Anything water related, sign me up.
Okay.
But my mom used to say, and my mom and my dad, they were both like these powerhouses. Like they did so much in their life, both in their career, but for just family, for other people, all this. And my mom, we used to tease her that she slept with her eyes open because she was so, like, she had so much energy, you know?
Yeah.
But she used to say to me, and this was before she had dementia, she used to say to me, you know, you waste a third of your life sleeping.
Yes.
Now, that's how I grew up.
I'm with your mom.
But as an adult, I've come to say, as much as I love my mom and admire my mom, I do disagree on that.
Right.
We need sleep. We need sleep because the brain has to reset. You need all the – maybe you don't need 8 hours. Not everyone needs 8 hours, but you need a time to stop. And so I think in a way the shower reminded me of that, is that there are parts of our day that have nothing to do with the big mission.
Right.
They're just like, okay, I got to put gas in the car or – got to get groceries or...
I'm with your mom. I look at that as as a flaw that's a bug that we have to fix.
And I don't... I don't see it like that. And I, as a matter of fact...
You're probably way more peaceful than me and your mom.
Maybe. I don't know.
I bet.
But the other thing that goes with it is I also believe in whatever you're doing, just focus on it. Like be present with
mindfulness.
It. Mindfulness. Yeah. Be present with this, with it and enjoy it, what it is. So, for example, when I... started Oh So Organized. It's over 30 years. So I had two babies, basically.
Mm.
And I was building the business as I was raising them. And so, like, there was no going to the grocery store on my own. It was like I'd cart them along and, you know. So instead of it being like, oh, what a pain, I've got to get them in, it was like, okay, we'd go, we'd sing, we'd dance in the aisles. I mean, we just tried to make it fun.
Right.
And I look at it that way. So, like, well, I happen to like the shower, but for me, I'm really – enjoying that process. And I, whatever I'm doing, I try to, as best I can, focus on what that is.
That might be one of the keys is to learn to enjoy the process. Because when I organize stuff,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm wasting time. My desk was a shit show the other day at the drawer, like just full of everything.
Yeah.
And so I took like, it took me like an hour and a half to sort through and thought, I hated every minute of it.
Yeah.
But I think maybe one of the steps is learning to enjoy
the process.
The process.
Or creating a better environment while you're doing that. So, for instance, clearly music is one of the passions. And maybe, and I don't know if you were doing it in quiet or you had music playing, but...
You're right. I did it in quiet.
Okay. So, you know, sometimes...
Which is dumb because I need to listen to music.
It's not dumb. I mean, for instance, I like to work in quiet. But a lot of people want some sound. So for you, taking a situation that is stressful, like you don't like organizing, so of course you're going to, you know, brace up.
Right.
It's not going to be pleasant. But if you introduce some pleasant things into your environment, so it could be music. It could be getting some fresh air, opening the window, you know, if I don't know if you like burning candle, whatever, just making that environment more pleasant so that you have a pleasant, and also.
You are really good.
You said you worked for an hour and a half?
Yeah.
That might be too long. You might need to set a timer and say, shit, I'm only going to do this for 15 minutes. The timer goes off. I'm going to get up, get a snack, walk around the block, and then I'll come back for another. So, you know, also just how can you make that, you know, you were in pain in that you couldn't function, it sounds like, so well with the desk as it was. So you needed to do something, but you don't have to necessarily do it all at once like that.
You approach organization like it's stress management.
Well,
which is great.
I mean,
it is stress
because
management.
The clients I'm working with are incredibly stressed out by what's happening in their environments, or it could be in their heads or their time. You know, it's planning too. We do, you know, sometimes it's they have a big project and it's figuring out how they're going to manage it when they really don't even want to do it, but they have to do it.
Right.
You know, so there's a lot of that.
Interesting. What stresses you out? Because you don't see, you don't get rattled, it appears.
Okay, I cannot stand being put on hold.
Mm.
That, like, even if they play good music, like, I have to really do some deep breathing. That really makes me nuts.
Okay.
I know there are things that rattle me.
But maybe, maybe less than most people.
I'd have to ask my husband. He probably knows. He could probably listen. Boom, boom, boom.
Not only listen, he probably does them.
Yeah.
But maybe you're less rattled than most because the process of organize I'm trying to figure out how to articulate this, which is great for a show host.
Doing great.
Thank you. The process of organizing. If you can learn to enjoy that process and not just have to be organized all the time. Learning to step off of perfection the way you have means accepting imperfection. And if you can accept imperfection, stress goes way down.
Exactly. So,
and you're trained in teaching people how to accept imperfection.
Yeah.
So your head's in accept imperfection mode a lot of the time. So maybe stuff doesn't rattle you as much.
Yeah. I mean, there are things that do rattle me, although at the moment, I mean, I know I get rattled. And one thing I will say is that if I've slipped on the self-care piece, because self-care is really important, then I'm not at my best. And so something that might not get me will.
Right.
So I'm aware of that, although I can't think of an example. I'm just blanking out. But believe me, I do get rattled. But it's true. I mean, most of the time, I mean, one of the reasons I meditate is that I really feel that it grounds me for the day. So whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes or more, I'm helping my system to settle and focus. And there's something about that that has really helped me a lot, for sure. And the other thing is, I mean, I didn't say this, but I do love nature. So I'm try to get out at least every day to walk. I live, you know, by the rivers and the woods, and that is huge.
That makes such a big difference.
Yeah. And they've done so many studies about the benefits of nature and even walking. And
I just saw this study about sunlight and about how your body, if your body's not exposed to sunlight, your body has certain processes that it does during the day and different processes that it does at night.
Yeah.
And if you're not exposed to enough sunlight, your body doesn't know what time it is. And there's like digestive processes is one, elimination processes, all that stuff. Your body doesn't know when it's supposed to do it, so it starts doing it at the wrong time.
Hmm.
So we need to be outside.
Yeah, I love the outside.
When I used to teach guitar.
Okay.
And the way I would teach guitar is you would come to me, Linda would come to me and say, I want to play guitar. I'm like, no. Give me a song that you want to play on the guitar. I'm going to teach you how to play that song.
Oh, interesting.
And then you're going to fall in love with the guitar. It's going to make you want to practice. And then I'll teach you how to play a guitar. So I teach the thing by not teaching the thing.
Yeah.
I feel like you approach teaching organization that way.
Oh, that's so interesting. I've never thought about it like that.
Because the first thing you do is the first thing you from what I'm getting, the first thing you do is like, okay, we got to prioritize. Well, that's not really organizing. That's self-evaluation. What's important to you?
Right. We definitely – that is a first step.
We'll organize, but first tell me
– Yeah. I definitely need to know what's going on, you know. So because often you're coming into a situation where it's not one area. It's multiple areas.
Right.
And, you know, with virtual organizing, those sessions are 60 minutes, maybe 90 in some cases, mostly 60. So what can you do in 1 hour?
Mm-hmm.
That's gonna help someone get unstuck enough to take action to feel better. That's my goal. Right. That is my goal every session. And it doesn't matter how long I've been working with a person, it's always the same.
You know what I would love to do?
What's that?
I'd love to do a study with you.
Yeah.
Of client calls, writes, whatever, wants to hire you. Do a life assessment. And say, okay, I'm happy 1 to 10. I'm happy 4 at work, personal life 6, body impression 3, whatever it is. Then work with you and then wait like 6 months and then do that same evaluation.
Oh, that's interesting.
And see
what happens,
where the numbers go, because I bet they all go up.
I wonder. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I definitely one of the things I do is I create something called a project session journal when I work with someone. So I take notes, you know, during this, we're on Zoom, and I take notes. And then after each session, I send them this journal. And it basically is a record of what we did during the session, any challenges they had, successes, when our next appointment is, any resources, what they said they'd like to do in between. And I'm always capturing, I mean, some of it is I'm just describing what's happening, but I'm also capturing their language so that they're seeing the words they're saying. And I love it when I capture something at the beginning where you see that they're in, not that I'm happy they're in distress, I'm not, believe me, I'm not taking joy in that, but the progression. So by at the beginning, they're like, I don't know, like, this is hopeless. And by the end, it's like, wow, this is doable. They can see a path forward.
And you know what that is? That's cognitive behavioral therapy.
I'm not a therapist, but...
but you're doing... Yeah. Well, you don't have to be a therapist to do therapy. Parents do therapy every day.
Yeah.
But that's the process, is you say something, I mirror it back to you so you see where it is, and then later you say something else, and I say it back to you, and I say, look how different that is than when you said X. That's cognitive behavioral therapy.
And so I will bring it up, and they'll hear it, but then they can read it too.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that I'm always looking, but look, change is hard. Change is hard. Any kind of change. Doesn't matter what kind of change you're trying to do.
Right.
It's baby steps. And so we're working on baby steps and agency. Not just baby steps, but giving them, the clients, the tools that they need, the confidence that they need to make progress on their own. And I, when I'm with them, we're doing some of the progress, and then they're doing progress on their own, and they're building it into their busy lives. Because that's the thing, like you were saying, you know, there are things in your life, sort of the life management things that you don't enjoy, right? Well, I get it. I totally get it. But they're required in life, right?
Yes.
Unless you have someone that's going to do those for you. And there are people where that's the case.
The showering thing's pretty much on
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But other types of things, you know. So it's just part of life.
Yeah.
It's just part of life.
What? You won't. Okay, now I got to find a different word, because I was going to say mistake, but I don't think you look at it as a mistake. What?
Probably not. Right. I don't know the question, but I think you're probably right.
Knowing you a little bit now, I was going to say, what's the biggest mistake disorganized people make?
Oh, gosh. I don't even know if I could answer that.
There's so many.
No, it's just that, I mean, I don't even know if I would call it a mistake.
There you go. See?
Yeah. I had trouble with that word. Yep. There you go. But I think one of the things that I see are both expectation and boundary issues.
Mm.
So the expectation that it's going to all get fixed really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then the boundary issues around what's possible and what's enough.
Mm.
And those kinds of things. And that can be physical, but it also can be, you know, internal, like right. what we're thinking about.
You wrote a piece on releasing what is unnecessary.
Mm, yeah.
Minimalism works, question mark.
Okay.
No, I'm asking, does it work?
Oh, if that's what you want in your life, it can work. It's not going to work for everyone, for sure. There's also maximalism. It's the opposite.
But my approach would be, my approach wouldn't work, but my approach would be.
You don't know.
Disorganization and confusion are probably cousins. It's hard to be clear when you're disorganized.
That's probably true.
Right.
You can have moments.
Yeah, yeah.
You can have moments, yeah. But yeah.
And confusion results from too much input. So the way I treat confusion is I just start knocking things off. I'm like, all right, Lifted Project is a big deal. I need 200 people for a choir. That's a lot.
Yeah. That's a lot of emails. Yeah. A lot of phone calls.
So I'm like, okay, why don't you do this? You know, don't worry about the – do a 10-person choir. Settle that. When you get 10, then add 10 more.
Okay.
And then add 10 more. And just make it minimal. Make it test. I can put 10 people together right now. So and make it and minimalize everything.
So in that sense you're talking about. That's a boundary.
Okay.
And baby steps.
Right.
That's what you're doing there.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a great approach.
Okay. When you release what's unnecessary.
Yeah.
How do you define what's unnecessary? What's your criteria for that?
Oh, that's completely personal. In other words, I don't mean personal like don't ask me. I mean it's personal to the individual. So there's no value judgment. It's what that person deems is no longer necessary in their life.
But people do your clients have a challenge determining what's unnecessary?
Absolutely.
Though?
Are you kidding?
How do you help them get
there? You ask lots of questions.
Like?
Well, it'd be
like
easier.
Like when's the last time you used that thing?
So are we talking about something physical?
You go in my desk.
Okay.
And you open up my drawer.
Okay.
And it's like literally you can't open it anymore because there's too much paper in there and there's gummies in there. And I love fountain pens. There's like 12 fountain pens and blah, blah,
blah.
And
the ink bottles.
I don't use that stuff because I can't open a drawer because there's so much stuff in there.
Okay.
So.
How do you approach it?
Yeah.
Okay. So in that case, I probably would encourage you to potentially, depending on how big this drawer is and what surface space we have, potentially to take everything out.
Okay.
And sort it into categories. So put your paper in one pile, your fountain pens in another, your gummies in another, whatever the categories are. And then we look at one category at a time to say, do you want all these fountain pens or are some broken and they can't be fixed and they go? And we whittle it down to the things that you do want. And then determine, do they belong in your desk drawer? And if they do, then we put them back in a way that's going to be able to let you have access to those things and open the desk drawer easily. And the things that you don't want anymore, which could be, oh, gosh, this pen doesn't work. I can't get it fixed. That's garbage. That's going.
Right.
That's a releasing what's no longer necessary. Or it could be a stack of papers that just got shoved there and time took care of and they're no longer relevant and they're going into the shredding bin. That's not necessary. Or, you know, so it's you're teasing it out.
I saw a drawer that you designed.
You did?
Yeah, on your blog.
Oh, okay.
I was over at your house.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I missed that, John.
Well, I was hanging with your husband trying to figure out things that annoy you.
He definitely could give you a list. He's going to laugh when he hears this.
Was it a sewing drawer? No. It was a drawer in your bedroom project.
The bedroom projects?
No.
Oh, the...
It was a drawer and it had like a bunch of plastic containers and I thought it was a sewing drawer, but
I know what you're talking about. Maybe it was the bedroom project and I was showing a picture of a game that my daughter had designed when she was in high school.
No, this was a drawer.
No, it wasn't that. It was a drawer. Okay.
And you even mentioned the you got the product at the container store.
Oh, the Alpha dividers?
Yes, that's
okay.
It. Okay.
Yes. Sorry.
And so I'm looking at that and I'm like, I'm not a graphic designer.
Okay.
I couldn't design that for all the tea in China. And did being a graphic designer help you?
Okay, so...
Because you see space relation different.
Okay, so for me, like, yes, the... Like, creating a drawer in that way for my personal space, it does bring joy and delight. That does not bring joy and delight for everyone, and I recognize that. But I probably my art background and just always that proclivity for design and color and space has been present since I was pretty little. Like when I think about how I had my own, you know, in the house I grew up in. So I have two siblings. My mom was a piano teacher. She taught at home. Incredible teacher. Mm. Brother's a cellist, composer. Sister's a pianist. I did some music, but I don't consider myself a musician. And my dad was in a completely different field in computer graphics. But
cool.
The house was loving and chaotic.
Okay.
Now, not disorganized, but chaotic in that constant music, constant people visiting from all over. It was just like, and I am the youngest, so there I had very little say in what was going on. Mm-hmm. It was just all these things were happening. I also had the smallest bedroom, was right off the kitchen. Everyone else was upstairs. It's okay that I had a small bedroom, but from very young,
easier to sneak out when you're a teenager.
That's true.
First floor.
We're not going to go there, but yes, that is true.
Okay, fair enough. My daughter's 16. I've learned to
watch. But I loved being able to create order in my space, and it wasn't chaotic. And I think that that was one of the influences on me, that I was very comfortable being in chaos,
mm-hmm.
but in my own space, I wanted order.
Mm.
And so, again, my household, in other words, it's not like it was a clutter situation at my house, but it was a different kind of chaos.
Right.
And I think that's why I'm so comfortable working with clients that have this chaos, internal and external.
Because you
and
know
I'm
from
very
that.
Good at helping them to create order with it.
Do you – so I'm reading the reviews of your book, and everybody loves it, and everybody says how non-judgmental and compassionate you are. And that word compassionate gets used a lot. Mm. And it struck me that the amount of reducing suffering that you're doing.
Mm.
And if you're listening, I mean, whether it's Linda, first go to osoorganized.com. But if you're not going to do that, if you can, if the stress is high, try organizing. I got into it a little bit, and it brings mine down. And then you read the reviews of Linda's books, and you see these people, you know. Almost every other review has the word compassionate, sympathetic in it, and you know you wouldn't think of organization as something as a compassionate act, but the 50% of the people there are like, she's so compassionate. You're reducing a lot of suffering. That's awesome.
Yeah,
thank you for that.
Thank you for saying that. I mean, there's a lot of pain out there.
Yeah, and this is a cool way to. This is a cool way to approach it, though, because you know I might be, or we'll use Lifted Project as an example. Like I'm constantly stressed out about the Lifted Project, and it's a lot of work. I organize my desk drawer, and I do have to draw, and I do have to say, feel a little better about the Lifted Project because now I know where my Lifted Project shit is.
Yeah,
and stress comes down.
It's stress because again, I think we started with this is that there's so much. Chaos and unpredictability in the world.
Right.
And creating little pockets of predictability, of consistency, really mitigates not all of it, but some of it. And it's enough to make a difference. You know, it's life's. It makes a big difference. I mean,
it makes a real dent.
Yeah. I mean, life's never going to be perfect. I don't think we're going for that.
Right.
There's always going to be things to handle. There's always going to be stuff that goes wrong or things that are horrible that happen that we don't expect or have, you know.
Right.
But a certain amount of flow in your life that you can create yourself, whether that's your physical stuff or what's happening internally about, you know, about your situation, makes a huge difference.
It really does.
And I see it every day.
It really does.
And that's really my goal in helping someone move from that feeling stuck and burdened and overwhelmed to a place where they feel better.
You have two kids.
Yeah, two daughters.
How old?
They are 34 and 32.
If I had them in the room right now, I would say, was your room ever messy? Because I can't imagine being the daughter of a professional organizer and having...
So they grew up with this.
That's what I mean.
Right.
Like, can you imagine, like, your mom's an organizer and my room's messy?
So I adore our kids. Like, they are just amazing human beings. And I loved raising them and seeing them as adults. It's just an incredible thing.
Here comes the but.
No, there's no but.
Okay.
They shared a room. So they shared a room growing up. Completely different styles.
Mm.
One, very creative. Well, they're both creative, but very, like, needed all the stuff and the physical stuff around. And the other, more minimalist.
Mm-hmm.
And this room was small. And so they learned to coexist together, respect each other's systems. I helped them in some regards. Like, I would say in the organizing industry, we talk about their organizers that come to it because they were born organized. We use the word born organized,
right,
meaning it's like a natural skill, and others that have come to it because they've struggled. So those are our kids right there.
Right.
One had the skills, one didn't. But I did not understand that one of my daughters didn't really have those skills until she went to kindergarten, because I didn't even realize I'd been compensating. Okay. So once I recognized that she didn't have those skills, I started to help teach them to the degree where by the time I think she was in second grade, the teachers would always comment how organized she was. So the two kids have very different styles, but they've come to it, you know.
It's funny where that comes from. Not organized.
Yeah.
My daughter's notebooks are... They're museum pieces. I'm like, where?
Yeah.
How does that?
Yeah.
And like her mom, Trish, her mom's not overly organized either. She's more organized than me, but not overly organized. It's just so weird how funny.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's people are, and you know, and with my clients too, I see it. Some of them struggle with the organization piece because they never learned the skills. So they also came from a situation.
Right.
And some just had it naturally. And some, it was a reaction against not having grown up. So, you know, you can never predict what's going to happen.
Right.
And ultimately, it's up to the adult to decide where they want things to be in their life, how they want.
It must feel so good to work with you and have that breakthrough moment of accepting imperfection. Because that's a carryover into your whole life.
Yeah.
If you, you know, if you can learn... I'm imagining working with you, and I'm imagining that I'm learning less self-abuse.
Definitely less self-abuse.
More acceptance.
Yeah.
And understanding everything's a process. And it's going to be a process till it's not, and you don't want it to not be a process because that means you're done.
Yeah.
That would be – that. I would love to interview clients that you've had 5 years ago and just say, how has your life changed? Mm. Not how your drawers changed. How has your life changed? Because I bet you, and you could do it. You could go back and ask. I bet you would get reviews like, in the 5 years since Linda went through my house, I've met better friends. I'm more successful at work. I bet you would find that.
Yeah, I have no idea about that piece. I mean, I will say that I do tend to work with clients over an extended period of time.
Right.
So,
because it's a process.
It's a process. And also because of the types of clients that I work with, if there is some kind of life change, that can throw their systems off. And so they'll want to, you know, revisit.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, plus, you probably come to enjoy it working with you, like getting on the phone and having.
Oh, having Linda I love my clients. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Really, yeah, very special.
Do you? What part of your life is disorganized?
What part of my life is disorganized? You mean like the physical part of the life?
Yeah.
I would say our garage could be better. That's, you know, we live in a one-story house, no basement, no attic.
Right.
And that's a storage place. And my husband's a very big collector of things. He's also a musician, so drummer. He's got woodworking tools.
Oh,
he's
cool.
Got, like, a lot of stuff. And I do have some stuff in there, too. But, you know, that's one area where I just try to, you know, breathe my way through. And
right. My wife wanted me to ask you this question.
Okay.
She's fascinated by storage units.
Oh, interesting.
And she looks at storage units as a sign of disorganization.
Huh.
Because you're paying money.
Yes.
To keep stuff that you're not going to see for 4 years, five mm-hmm. years, 6 years. And she views that as a sign of disorganization. What do you think?
So storage units are a sign of many things. And disorganization could be one of them,
right.
But not necessarily.
Right.
Because there are people that have storage units that are very organized about what's in them. They have spreadsheets. They know what's there. And the reason why it's in there could be because maybe they had to clear out their parents' house. They weren't ready to part with stuff yet.
Right. Period.
You know,
storage units in transition, I'm for.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah. But just, you know, people that just they have so much stuff and
yeah.
just can't let go of it and
yeah.
actually pay to keep stuff they're not going to use.
Yeah. So the non-judgmental part is saying people have all kinds of reasons and you kind of have to know what's going on
right.
for them in their life.
Right.
Trish,
stop judging people with storage units.
I mean, the thing is, you know, storage units would never be a first recommendation when there's something going on. You know, my first recommendation will always be edit what you have at home or in the store if you have it. Let's do that first. And then if there's a reason for a storage unit, and there could be for a variety of reasons, then okay, but it wouldn't be like my go-to recommendation.
Right.
But there are reasons. And again, who are we to say how much right. stuff someone has or doesn't have?
I bet it would be really interesting. I bet you teach people how to think. I had a friend, remember when we used to use paper money?
I still use paper money.
Oh, there we go.
Okay. And I read your comment, or you had, you know, messaged me about your friend, about how, right?
The
and
way a person handles their money is
I was laughing because I do that, and I do it because when I was in college, I worked at CVS, and you had to, they call it facing the money.
Okay.
You couldn't turn your drawer in unless all your money was faced.
Mm.
And it was, all the bills were facing the right direction, and for me, like, I wasn't an organizer yet, but I had those skills. Nothing made me happier than getting the money in order.
Right.
So I never used to have my money that way. But after working there, then right. I always did. So I let – anyway.
But
sorry.
I think
I digress.
I bet you're teaching people how to – shaping how people think. Because if I've learned – if I'm overwhelmed with something
mm-hmm.
and I've learned that there's a – I'm overwhelmed with my kitchen and I go through a process with you. And I learn, hey, it's going to be imperfect. There's always going to be a pot that's in the wrong spot or whatever. This is going to be a process. It's never going to end. But we're going to get to a point where you feel good.
Right. The good enough.
The good enough.
The good enough.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's brain mapping. Once you've mapped my brain to do that, I bet you I'm better in a relationship because there's parts of this relationship that aren't going to be good. We can work together to have it get better. I know that I have proof of concept. Look at my kitchen. Hmm. My kitchen was a process, and now
that's
I feel good about it.
Huh.
But now I've mapped my brain to do that.
Yeah.
There's no way it stops at the kitchen.
It's interesting. I guess I hadn't thought of it exactly that way, but I think you're probably right. I mean, what I do think about is that when someone is stuck and overwhelmed in a particular area and you can help someone to get unstuck, then there's better flow in other areas. So that's kind of how I see it, as, you know, you're opening up your life for these other areas where you can have growth and joy and all those things.
Yeah, it's like, so I was thinking about what you're doing, and like work, I work out a lot. And when you work out a lot, I look at a set of weights and I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be able to lift it. But I get 20 pounds close to it, blah, blah, blah. And then I hit a goal.
Okay.
Once I've hit a goal, it changes my reluctance to try another. It reduces my reluctance to try another goal. I'm actually, now I know I can do it.
Yeah.
So it makes me, it
motivates you.
It motivates me, and it takes the fear away from another thing that might seem overwhelming.
You're proving to yourself your ability.
Yeah.
And that absolutely is part of what I'm doing, is that
totally.
Someone's but coming in, like even what you were saying when you started, you're like, I can't, you know, like I'm not organized, but yet you were giving all these examples of ways that you are. So it's really just, it's a perspective shift.
So much of what you do is psychological.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And I know there's a very like distinct line between, you know, therapy and coaching and organizing, and I'm not a trained therapist, but I have done a lot of, I've had a ton of education.
Let me disabuse you of that therapist thing. Trainers are primarily mental health professionals.
Yeah.
The impact of exercise on your state of mental health is, I mean, there's a new study every single day. Hmm. Trainers are mental health professionals.
Oh, interesting.
You're a mental health professional. Hmm. You're impacting a person's state of mind for the better. That's a mental health professional. It's fascinating to me.
But I know in our industry, we're very careful about
it. Well, of course, you're not certified. You're not licensed to.
No.
But the reality is.
The reality is that I do help people facilitate change both internally and externally.
And once you, I'm going to cry, but it's a story. Aww. No, so my wife had a neck cancer thing, right? And listener, you can fast forward if you've heard this story before. Give me 45 seconds. So, and the way she found it, she thought she bit her cheek and it wasn't getting any better.
Oh, wow.
And and she's very close with her dentist. So she goes to the dentist. Dentist looks at it. 45 minutes, she's in surgery. 2-year thing happens. And it made the Today Show. It was torturous what she went through.
Sounds horrible.
So Today Show website, sorry. So she gets to the end of it. And obviously there's no going to the dentist, no seeing the dentist because she can't open her mouth or but she's very close and the dentist, she signed the HIPAA thing so that her dentist would be on every report and he followed every report and everything. Mm. So, and this relates to what you do. So now it's been almost 2 years, and she wants to go see him just socially.
Yeah.
And okay, so they go in, and she's sitting in a chair waiting, and I'm in the room, and he comes in, and they're hugging.
Mm.
And they're just hugging, and she's crying, and he's crying, and she's like, and he's like, how was it? And she goes, it was really hard. Mm. And I'll never forget what he said. He was the best answer ever. She's crying and she goes, it was really hard. And he pushed her away and looked in her face and said, now you know you can do hard things.
Oh my God.
But that's what you do. That's what you do. Now I know that I can, if facing something that's so overwhelming to me that I had to ask for help.
Yeah.
And yet now I know that I can do something I didn't think I could do.
Yeah.
Same exact thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. You're bringing beautiful things into the world. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. The website is osoorganized.com.
Yes.
The book is The Other Side of Organized, Finding Balance Between Chaos and Perfection.
Yes.
Thank you. your blog is really good.
Thank you.
I recommend going to the website and just reading the blog. You're good at creating mood. I felt like I knew you before you got in here because of the blog. Mm. You're super nice.
Thank you. So are you.
Oh, thanks.
You're a good host.
Oh. Thank you. And you sing?
I mean, I like to sing. I like to hum. But
want
to
be in a choir?
In a choir?
Yeah.
I don't
next
know.
Next lifted project. I'll email you.
Okay.
I won't put you on the spot right now. I'll email you.
I thought you were going to make me sing right now. And I'm like, no, I don't know about that.
Most guests do, but they know in advance, so don't worry about it. But no, I meant what I said. I really think that you are teaching people to overcome something that they thought they couldn't overcome. Mm. And that transposes that doesn't happen in a vacuum. It transposes to other areas. I fixed my kitchen. Maybe I can fix my marriage. So thank you for doing that stuff.
Absolutely.
And the website's the best way to get a hold of you?
That's the best way. Yeah, you can contact me directly. I'm on social media. You can, anyway.
All right.
Yeah, all my information's there.
Go to the site, get a little inspired, organize one thing. If you can't organize one thing, write Linda and ask for help.
Yeah.
And I bet it transposes to other areas of your life. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, John.
My pleasure.
Great to meet you.
Was it good?
It was great.
Yeah?
This
all
is
right.
Fun.
Cool. Perfect.